If you've ever been to the Fort Worth Zoo, you'll know it when that male lion begins to roar. Even if you're far away, you can hear it. I recall once rushing to see the great beast in action when I heard his voice. And that's the peculiar thing about zoo lions. When they roar, you want to get close. You want to see them open their jaws and bellow that majestic roar that reminds the other animals of who really is king of the jungle. Obviously, those zoo lions are isolated from the people, protected. They're secure. They pose no threat to the zoo attendee who can gaze comfortably on the other side of a moat and steel bars that surely separates them from the man-killing beast. In our epistle lesson this morning, we hear about a lion. But he's not in a zoo. He's free to roam around. He walks. He too has a roar that might cause you to come in for a closer look, to see the animal making such an intriguing sound. But this lion, Peter says, he's not interested in having you simply pet his mane or gawk at his stature. This lion, the lion of Holy Scripture, he wants you in his mouth. He has a taste for blood, and you're on the menu. We can leave the allegory behind now because you know who the lion is. The text says it. The devil is like a lion, but he's also a character who has taken on a particular meaning given to him by a culture and a world who sees the devil as little more than a cartoon character on one shoulder with an angel on the other. When I say the word devil, it comes to your mind. Do you really think about a bloodthirsty lion or a mischievous cartoon character with a pitchfork, horns, hooves, and a tail? Do you think about a roaring lion stalking and devouring unsuspecting prey? Or, to you, is the devil a little more than superstition? An archaic character who spooked Christians in the past, but we're in the modern church. We have no place for such a figure today. He may seem to you as nothing more than a comical boogeyman who we can ignore without peril. This, however, is not how Scripture speaks of our great adversary. Casually shrugging our shoulders at a harmless caricature we call the devil, it's not what God tells us to do. And that's a sure way to find yourself in the jaws of the lion. Against this enemy, we are commanded by God to be watchful, be sober-minded, because your enemy, your adversary, opponent, accuser, the devil walks around. He's on the prowl, and he's seeking someone to devour. And so it is. You may think that your enemy is flesh and blood. Maybe your spouse, a boss. It's not the real enemy. The devil, otherwise known as Satan. He's a real enemy, a real being, who has no problem if you deny his existence. If you see him as a fluffy kitty cat who's been declawed, or if you see him as a Looney Tune character. He pulls no punches. And he will do what it takes to entice you out of the kingdom of God and into his mouth. He's on the prowl, Christian. He's on the prowl. He wants to devour. And Christ our Lord knows this. At this point, we can segue into the gospel lesson, John 17. Now, that text is also known as the High Priestly Prayer. The High Priestly Prayer. And in that text, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, is an advocate on our behalf. He prays to God. He prays to his Father, asking him to keep his church, to keep his communion of saints in his name, so that we may be one, as God the Father and God the Son are one. This is a prayer for God to keep us in his name. In other words, it's a prayer to God for him to keep us faithful. Faithful, living the baptized life, confessing our sins, and by faith receiving God's forgiveness and his mercy. Staying in the name of God, friends, All that means is living in the body of Christ. Living by faith as God's one holy Christian apostolic church. This is also a prayer where Christ acknowledges we're in the world. Even as Jesus has ascended, we're in the world. And it's a fallen world we live in. And we do suffer. And Peter will tell us in his epistle, we even share in the sufferings of Jesus. The world is an arena stalked by the devil in which we are the prey. And Christian, by yourself, on your own, the odds are very much stacked against you. You are weaponless and you are defenseless on your own against Satan. Just picture yourself to get an idea. Pretend you're on an African savanna safari and you're surrounded by a pack of lions and you have no weapon. You get the idea. Your only hope is the one who still prays and protects you. We hear in the gospel lesson that the very Son of our holy God, Christ, prays for his church. He advocates for and he defends his church. He is the good shepherd who is vigilant. He is watchful. Watchful over his flock. Willing even to lay down his life. Such is the love for his sheep. Christ your shepherd. He will protect his people. Your God promises you protection and refuge from a world, from an enemy that will not cease to devour until the very end. Friends, this gospel, this proclamation of God, it is sure, certain. The word that God proclaims to you is one by which he forgives you your sin freely, without merit. It's a word that God speaks that actually creates faith when heard. This your God says. Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. The gospel is clear. Okay, but we don't always hear that clarity. We don't always feel the comfort of sins forgiven, do we? We don't always experience the innocence we have by living in Christ. Instead of feeling forgiven and free, too often the feeling that hangs over us is one of guilt. It's one of shame, even over sins that happened way in the past. Isn't it funny how our memories can be so vivid and so clear over sins that happened a long time ago as if we're not supposed to forget them? The word Satan, you probably know this, means accuser. Accuser, that means he accuses. As God's law reveals our sin, Satan is very happy to take that law and accuse you of your sin, to show you the sinner you are, driving you into grief, despair. Guilt. It's an emotion we're all too familiar with. And all this is why, dear Christian friends, this is why every day we have to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why every day we need God's mighty protective hand over us. This is why we cannot go a day without hearing our sins, though very great, have been forgiven. There is nothing to accuse. The law cannot do its work because precisely your sins have been taken away by your Savior Jesus, and he has paid for them. And so that means the devil can rattle and roar all he wants. He has no claim for you because you belong to someone. You belong to Jesus, and he prays for you, and he will keep you in his name. But I want to be even more specific than that. One thing in this text that Jesus prays for here, he prays for his people, and he says about the ones given to him, the ones who belong to him, Jesus says they have kept the word of God. They have kept the word of God. Our Lord says this. He says, "For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." The ones who belong to God are the ones who keep his word. And by keep, he's talking about faith. Faith in what he promises. Faith in his holy promise. divine word. Now, I know words don't seem like a whole lot, do they? It may seem that the words on the pages of Holy Scripture are no different than the words in a normal history textbook. And it is true, the words of man have no power in and of themselves. We cannot speak and creation springs into being. But friends, there is a very big difference between the word of man and the word of your God. The word of God is a performative word. That means God's word performs what he sets it out to do. Through his prophet Isaiah, God says this in Isaiah 55, "It will not return to me empty, but it," meaning his word, "shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And so when the great apostle Paul tells the Romans, faith comes by hearing the words of Christ, you understand where he is coming from, that proclaimed word of God can even bring faith into the heart of a dead sinner. As God's word brought matter out of nothingness, which we read about in Genesis, that proclaimed word, when heard today, can also create faith. Faith in the heart of a dead sinner. God speaks this faith into your hearts. This is his word. And those who keep his word, those who believe in that powerful word of your God, they are the ones who belong to him. And Satan cannot touch them. My final point is this. For all you who have been baptized, when you were baptized so long ago, God spoke to you that day. He gave you his word, his pledge and guarantee. When the waters of baptism came upon you, God said, "You are mine. You belong to me. My seal is upon you. My holy name is upon you." When you were baptized, God makes a promise to the baptized. And he says, all those who have been washed in those waters of regeneration have been united to both the death and the eternal resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means, friends, when the Satan comes at you, when the lion comes at you, when Satan comes at you roaring, bellowing, seeking to get you in his jaws, you belong to someone who Satan cannot touch. You belong to someone, and nothing can separate you from your God through the love we have in Jesus Christ. Remember who you belong to. Remember who died to save you, who promises never to leave you or forsake you, who prays for you, and who will keep you in his holy church. Christ will do it. This is his word. He has given you his promise. This is our comfort and consolation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, may guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.